All right, are you guys ready to hear today's message?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, what we're doing is we've been spending the last few weeks in the book of Psalms. You guys been enjoying that? Yeah? It's been awesome. A playlist, the playlist for life. Today what we're going to do is we're going to continue this, and today's message is going to be a roadmap for breakthrough. The Psalms really is for you, if you allow it and you begin to see it through the right lens, is a roadmap for breakthrough. The psalmist, the way that they wrote some of these psalms, for me, obviously, like, I've been in church for a long time. You know, I've read them. I've sang songs that were written out of them. And the more I dove deep into the psalms, the more I began to see a pattern and actually a roadmap. It was like I had a map for whatever situation or struggle that I was in to lead me into a place of breakthrough. So what I want to do this morning is we're going to kind of meander through some of these verses and we're going to talk about it. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Awesome. Psalms, worship, really what it comes down to is an attitude of worship that is really going to unlock breakthrough for you. And we're going to look at how that ties in. So this morning, to kind of start off, like, we're going to look at the story of Cain and Abel to kind of set a foundation. But before we do that, some of you guys maybe noticed, like, you know, during worship, like when I'm leading worship, right? You know, things can get kind of emotional, right? Yeah? Come on, where have you guys been? For reals. Like, even this morning, it's amazing, right? Sometimes I think, just so you guys understand, just me being vulnerable, when I'm leading worship and I really encounter God's presence in a way and I'm crying or whatever, the thoughts that are going through my mind are not like, oh, wow, people are going to really think I'm spiritual right now because I'm crying as I lead worship. No, I'm like terrified. I hate it. It's like, it's one of those things where I'm like, this is so freaking embarrassing right now. Like, my voice is cracking and I can't sing and people are like looking at me like I'm weird, this crazy person on stage. Or we start singing a song and I'm dancing around and jumping and spinning wildly. Like, I'm not like, man, this is impressive. People are going to be like, yeah, that's a good worship leader right there. No, it feels very embarrassing for me. Very embarrassing. I take off my guitar and I've got like a giant sweat stain from my guitar body right here. And I'm like, ah, now I got to go sit out in front of people. And I'm just sweaty and probably stinky. And why would I do that? Why would I be willing to lay my ego on the line and just be free like that in God's presence? I want to take you through some things in the Psalms because there is an attitude sometimes about worship that we get wrong. Kind of a perspective of how we engage with God in this way. And I think sometimes we kind of see it a little bit from the wrong perspective. And I want this morning to be a place of like realigning for you. Is that okay? Come on. The story of Cain and Abel is really interesting. I, as a young person, always related to this story because I have one older brother, right? And so, you know, there's always like the classic brother fights and the, it's not fair and all that kind of stuff. And so when I read the story of Cain and Abel, that was my reaction for years and years. It was like, God, it's not fair. This makes no sense, Cain and Abel, right? That you would choose one sacrifice and not the other. And so the story obviously is Cain and Abel are both going to bring sacrifices to God. And it says that God's favor turned down on Abel's and he accepted his sacrifice, but he rejected Cain's, right? Seems a little unfair because there's no clarifying of what happened. There's no like backstory. It just says that's what happened. And then it says Cain is all downcast and sad and God comes to him and he's like, hey, dude, what's up? Why are you sad? Right? And so what does Cain do? Cain is engaged in this conversation and God makes a very powerful statement to him that took me a while to see, but this is what he says. He says in Genesis 4, it says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desires for you, but you should rule over it. Now, many of us read this, if you do well, meaning if you do the right thing, if you do what's right. How many of you guys kind of know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, it kind of has this feeling like, oh yeah, it's because obviously Cain disobeyed in some way. Like Cain did something wrong. This word, what we're going to do this morning, starting here, we're going to go back to grammar class. Is that okay? Half of you guys are like, no, actually, coffee sounds real good right about now. I did not do good in grammar. No, just stay with me. I'm going to explain it. We're going to work through this because language, all language is a communication of like this invisible thought. Does that make sense? Like when you put words to something, you're trying to form substance around a thought, a feeling, a message. And so what happens is with grammar, it, if you can look at it the right way, it will unlock some meaning and some truth for you that you may not have seen before. This word to do well is really interesting. We're going to look at the verb tense. The verb is actually to do well. It means it's the word yatab. I don't have it in here. Or not yatab. I'm sorry. I'm saying it wrong. I actually have it. Not in my notes. My apologies. Regardless, the verb tense, it's the hifl version of this word, and it's the imperfect tense. Now, what is this? Why is this important? We're going to keep coming back to this throughout this morning. But hifl, it actually is the causative action. It's taking a verb and making it the causative action. So it's not like I went along with something. It's the cause of, I made myself do this. Guys, catching the difference? Causative action. In other words, you are causing yourself to do something. Now, this is really important because God never violates your free will. You always have a choice. You do. You always have a choice. And this verse is actually an invitation to rule over your heart. He says, sin lies at the door, but you should master it. Referring to your heart, the door to your heart. Now, this is really important. Causative action. If you go back to that, the imperfect tense here is actually, it's like an incomplete action. In other words, in English, it would correspond to like the ing ending. So like, I'm walking. Doesn't have like an end. Does that make sense? You guys tracking with me? Now, what does this mean? To do well, it's the tense that says, I'm going to make myself without stopping. And if you look at the definition of this word, it's going to change your life. To make glad, to rejoice. It's catching something here. To do good to deal well with, to do well, to do thoroughly. To make a thing good, right, or beautiful. To do well and to do right. To make glad, rejoice. Let's go back to what God said. If you do well, if you choose to rejoice, if you make the decision to rejoice and to be glad, won't you be accepted? God is giving us a key that says if you rule over your heart in a way that you make the decision to rejoice, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of the toil, regardless of what's going on, won't you be accepted? Your attitude of rejoicing, your attitude of gladness actually opens up and unlocks heaven's favor over your life. It's like this, it's like your heart is this continual altar, and you get to choose what sacrifices on that altar. And that's either going to attract heaven or it's going to reject it. It says this, our attitude is a fragrance. It's an offering that either attracts heaven or repels it. When I have two boys at home, there are lots of fragrances that repel people. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, real talk, you don't want your heart to have that place with God. This is real, you guys. This is actually one of the, like, this is the, in the first four chapters of the Bible, God's like, listen, you want to attract heaven? You make a choice. You cause yourself to rejoice. Not connected to any circumstance. It doesn't matter your circumstances. You make the decision to rule over your heart. Because if you don't, sin is waiting at the door. If you don't make the physical choice, if you don't make the conscious choice to rejoice, to be glad, to be pleasing, to have a good attitude, sin is waiting at the door of your heart. Dude, that is a powerful statement. It is an incredible thing to recognize that God is giving you a secret to attracting heaven's favor over your life, your attitude. Paul mirrored it this way in 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7 when he said, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It doesn't say God loves a giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Again, your attitude. Your attitude is opening up and attracting heaven's attention and God's glory into your life. So with that perspective, that foundation, we're going to jump into Psalms. Is that cool? Are you guys ready for this? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of explore some of the different Hebrew words for praise and their verb tenses in the way that they're written. Is that okay? You guys can stick with me through this? I promise you it's going to be super practical. It's going to help you out a lot. We're not going to get to all of them. We'll just get through whatever we can. So Psalms 113, this is where we're going to start. Psalms 113, if you have your Bible, you can open it. I'm going to have the verse up here. But it starts this. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised." Come on, that's good. "The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord." Now this is important. Sometimes in our Christian culture or churches, and we kind of get used to this, like, "Praise the Lord, brother. How you doing today? Praise the Lord. Let's go praise him. Praise Jesus. Ha! Praise Jesus. Woo! Praise him." You know what I'm saying? And you kind of get into this, "Where's my organ? Wah, bah, bah, bah. Praise Jesus. Praise him." You need to understand the word praise isn't doing anything. It's not the what you're giving God. When we say, like, lift up a praise to him, right? When we're like, lift up your own voice and you're like, "Praise the Lord." Praise isn't anything other than it's an action. It's a verb. This word isn't saying when you say praise the Lord, you're giving him praise. No, it's actually telling you to do something. The sentence "praise the Lord" is actually you, sir, you, ma'am, praise the Lord. Take the action of praise to him right now. Does that make sense? The word praise isn't the thing you're giving him. It's telling you to do something. Now, this is important because if you look at this verse here, it's tied to like such an incredible revelation of God's nature. And it's on the other side of your choice. The word here in Hebrew is halal. And Pastor Caleb did an incredible job talking about halal and hallelujah and all of the depth of that. But I want to just, we're going to look at the verb tense here just to kind of expand it in this verse. Halal is the word that means to shine, to praise, to boast, to act like a madman. To act like a madman. Listen, when I'm leading worship or when I'm in worship and I start to dance around, it is a choice I am making in response to God's nature. It is not a, "Wow, I got some awesome dance moves. Check it out. Yeah." No, it's nothing like that. It's literally my choice to be like, "God is so crazy, so far beyond. His nature never changes. I'm about to let loose because I can't keep it in anymore. I'm going to shine. I'm going to boast. I'm going to act like a madman." When we say praise the Lord, it's a directive to your heart that says act like a madman because his nature doesn't change. God doesn't change. Your circumstances go up and they go down. He doesn't. And worship is a response to who he is, not a response to your current circumstances. Did you catch that? Worship is a response to him and his nature, not to your circumstances. Now, this is what's cool about the verb tense. It's peel imperative. So peel is the version of the verb that's an intensive, intentional action. This is like changing the sentence "he broke" to "he smashed it into pieces." That's the verb tense that we're using here. It's not "he broke." "He smashed it into pieces." It could also mean like where you're referring to. It would say like "he counted" to like "he recounted." He didn't just count once, but he like made sure he knew what was going on. He recounted. And it's the imperative. Imperative verb tenses are commands. It's not a choice. It's a command to your heart. And it's not just a halal, not just shine, right? Shine, shine, Jesus, shine. I'm just shining, right? No, it's this intensive, intentional, he smashed it into pieces. It's this acting like a madman. It's the intense, intentional version of that word. And it's a command to your heart. Praise the Lord. Oh, but you don't know my circumstances, man. You don't know what just happened at work. And listen, I want to tell you what. God never asks you to be ignorant or to ignore your circumstances. What he does is he asks you to look at his nature and allow him to rule and reign in your circumstances. There is a significant difference. We are not to walk around with our head in the sand, ignoring our problems, ignoring our hearts, just pushing all those emotions down. I'm not going to process it. No. It says he promises to comfort all who mourn. And the roadmap through the Psalms is this journey through emotions and through process and through journey that results in seeing God for who he is and stepping into that response instead of responding to our circumstances. You don't know the situation, man. We just got this bill. And no. Did you read here? It says he raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap. Praise the Lord. Act like a madman. Do you see God? Do you see him? No, I just see this bill in front of me. No. Lift your eyes up. Look at him right now. Look at who he is. Your attitude is going the wrong direction. Shift it. Begin to rejoice because God's going to turn with favor to that. And it allows heaven to step into your circumstances. And it allows that part of God's nature to invade your life as you step into a choice that says, I will praise. Praise the Lord, all you people. Praise the Lord. In other words, hey guys, get up, do something, shine, boast about God's nature. Look at who he is, because look at what he does. Look at his heart. Look at his nature. Does that make sense? Are you guys tracking with this? Come on, are you guys ready to look at another one? All right. My notes are kind of jumbled. Psalm 18, verses 46 to 49. I want to read this to you. It says this. The Lord lives, blessed be my rock, let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord lives. Sorry, guys. Songs from my childhood. Almost every single one of these, I was like, first service, I was having a really hard time not singing all of these. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. The verb tense for this is the word thanks. It's in Hebrew, it's yada or yada. If you're a Hebrew scholar out there, please forgive me because I'm going to butcher a lot of words here. It's the hiphol imperfect tense. Hiphol, again, remember, it's the causative action. I will make myself give thanks. And it's the imperfect tense, which means it's continual. I will make myself give thanks. That's an open-ended word that doesn't have an ending to it. Now, why is this important? Read what it's saying. The Lord lives, blessed be my rock. It goes through this incredible thing. He delivers me from my enemy. He lifts me up against those above those who are against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will make myself give thanks. Do you see those circumstances that are contained in that verse? There's some pretty gnarly stuff going on in the author's life. And yet at the same time, he's choosing to look up and to look at God's nature. Beginning to focus on that and says, you know what? I will make myself give thanks. I will make the choice. You will give thanks. No. Give thanks. No. Say thank you. It's like the battle with that 3-year-old. Say thank you. You will say thank you, you know? Your heart, thank you. And all of a sudden something opens up in your life. I will make you say thank you. I will choose. I'm making this choice to say thank you. Continually, without an end, because God's nature doesn't ever change. His nature isn't going up and down. It's not that he's a provider sometimes and then he's not a provider other times. He's always the provider. He's always that. His nature doesn't move. It doesn't change. Feeling thankful isn't the same as communicating it. Anybody that's been married for longer than a minute will understand the truth of this statement. Feeling thankful is not the same thing as communicating it. And I can come home from work and maybe Savannah's picked up the kids. They're working on homework. We got dinner going and I come in and it's amazing and like it's just awesome. And I walk in and I'm just like, man, this is awesome. My wife is the best wife ever. I can't believe this. This is so sweet. And maybe she even thought about like, oh yeah, you have a tournament coming up. You can't eat certain foods. So I made this specific kind of dinner to like help you. And I can like inside be like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. What an incredible person. I can't believe the person I married. Holy smokes, how did I luck out with all of this? Right? And I can feel all of that. And I walk in, hey babe, I start playing with the kids and go around and do something. And pretty soon you can hear the... as she's shutting the cabinet door, right? I made tri-tip, you know, or whatever happens to be. And I'm like, why? Because feeling thankful doesn't matter if I'm not going to communicate it. Feeling thankful towards God doesn't mean anything. I mean, it does, for what it's worth. But you have to communicate it. You actually have to step out and say, I will choose to say thank you. I will choose to communicate this thing in my heart. I'm not going to just feel it. I'm not going to just think about it in my head. But I'm going to put actions to my heart. I'm going to put actions to my belief. And I'm going to say, God, thank you. God, there's no one like you. I can't believe that you don't change. You are my provider. It doesn't matter the bill I just got. God, your nature doesn't change. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Are you guys tracking with me? Why? Because it's the fragrance of your life is either attracting heaven or repelling it. If you do well, don't you know? If you rejoice, don't you know? I'm going to turn with favor to you. Man, it's a powerful thing. It's incredible what, like in that process, just the attitude of gratefulness can do for you and do for your mind. Now, this is like even psychologically. I don't have time to go down this road, but there's so many studies about gratefulness and that attitude, what it will do for you psychologically and emotionally, for your sense of peace, for your sense of well-being. It's absolutely incredible. But I'm going to tell you what, there is even something more significant when you learn to rejoice and God opens up that breakthrough over your life and he turns with favor to you. The psalmist is writing here saying, listen, there are moments where you have to make yourself say thank you. You have to make yourself step into that place of being grateful. Does that make sense? It's so important. I love this. The word zamar there too is an appeal and perfect. It's an intensive, intentional action. Again, remember, he broke to he smashed into pieces. And it's the imperfect tense. It's a continual thing. I will sing praises to the Lord. I'll be thankful and then I'm going to sing praises. This is for all of you people that don't think you can sing. This is like he smashed it into pieces. This is the, God, our God, and you're just singing off key and yelling and like that's a beautiful sound, man. That is you responding to the overwhelming nature of God. Does that make sense? This isn't like just some like, hallelujah. You know, just very, which is beautiful. I love formal singing. I'm just saying that like, this is like a response to where it's just, wah, everything in you, you just are letting it out. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He's speaking to his soul right now. This again, the word praise, and this is the hiphil imperfect, meaning I will cause myself to praise continually. Soul, why are you downcast? Don't you understand? You put your hope in God. You don't put it in your circumstances. You don't put it in your job. You don't put it in your marriage or your spouse. You don't put it in the therapist that you're seeing. You don't put your hope in the gas in your car. You don't put your hope in the quality of boss that you have. You don't put it in the intelligence of your kids and their ability to succeed in school. Your hope is in God. So soul, you better get off your butt and start singing right now. You will make yourself thankful. That's what he's saying right now. Like, don't you understand? Your hope is anchored in God, not in your circumstances. Again, we're not in denial, but we're choosing to step past our circumstances into God's nature and reality, allowing heaven to turn into our life. Does that make sense? Come on, I'm preaching a whole lot better than you guys are shouting right now. But it's okay. It's all right. It's soaking in. You guys are sponges this morning. Oh, man. I can't There's so many things like this, man, that I feel like we give ourselves an out. We give ourselves an excuse to stay in mediocrity and in the mire of our circumstances. And I'm so passionate about people choosing to step past the gunk and the mire that they're in and understanding that heaven is literally an attitude shift away from you. Breakthrough is just an attitude shift away. Like I can't tell you like how much this means to me to be in conversations with people and they can't lift their eyes above their circumstances. And time and time again, I come into a place and I see God's heart and I see his nature. And I'm just like, if people could see you, God, there's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one. There's no one like you, God. You just are overwhelmed with a sense of like, man. Oh, Jesus. He's so good. He's so good, you guys. I can't like, it's not that circumstances aren't difficult. It's not that you're going through things that aren't a problem. You are. But God is so real. He's so powerful. His nature doesn't change. Having an emotional response and worshiping out of a response to your circumstances is a level and a place of immaturity. Did you hear me? Worshiping at the lowest level. It's worship out of the lowest level. It's just a response to circumstances. You're starting to feel something and then choosing to worship is a place of immaturity. Worship out of maturity is when you have learned to look at God's nature and his heart and say, I don't care what I feel. I don't care what is going on around me. I am worshiping you, Jesus. Because you are worthy of my praise. You are worthy of my affection. Your nature doesn't change. You are still you, regardless of whether the band just played a bad note, whether the lights are shining in my eyes, whether the sound man decided to like mess with the settings and it's hurting my ears. It doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter. You can be in a liturgical service and everybody's singing with a big organ and hymns, and you can be having a crazy encounter with God because you're worshiping in response to him, not in response to your circumstances or your present place. You can be in a worship service that with crazy lights and all that stuff. Do you know the lights, like our light stuff that we do on Sunday mornings, doesn't even hold a candle to what's going on in heaven? Has anybody read Revelation 4 and 5? There's lightnings and thunders and flashes of light and smoke and rainbows and seas of glass and screaming and shouting, angels circling the throne, elders are on their throne. They see God, they dive off their throne, they throw their crowns on the ground and lay down face first in front of God. The most mature people, I'm telling you what, if you have delved into a place of maturity in your heart, will result in passionate, freely abandoned worship. Because the more mature you get, the way God has set it up is as you step into seeing him more and more and more, you can't help but respond out of his nature. The more you see God, it should result in a more free and just release of abandoned worship before him. We stand in our seats sometimes and we're like, yes, God, I love you. Hallelujah. I've been a Christian for 45 years. Hallelujah. God forbid I get a little sweaty in worship. Do you know what I'm saying? Or we're like, that crazy stuff is for those people that just got saved. They just gave their heart to Jesus. You know, as they mature, they'll understand that they should be more reserved and serious. I'm telling you what, man, that is not the model we see in the Bible. That's not the model we see in heaven. That's not the model we see in Psalms. What we see is a person, when they first get saved, wow, there is energy, there is craziness, there is excitement. Because why? They see God for the first time. It's incredible. It's amazing. And then as you begin to step in close to him, you begin to see him more and more and more. And the more you see him, the more you see his nature, the more you see his heart. And it should result in, oh my gosh, this is even crazier than I thought. Which then results in even more passionate worship before him. And again, remember, worship, it's not just in this corporate setting. It's your attitude, right? Cain and Abel. It's the attitude that you choose to put on the altar of your heart day in and day out. So that means when you go home and your kids are freaking out and they can't do their homework and they're trying to read and you're like, the word is and. And. Say it with me. A-N-D. And, right? No, Jesus, I love you, man. You are so good. The word is you, Y-O-U. Say it with me. It doesn't change. It's one of the first words you learned is you. While, yo-yo, yahoo. Oh my gosh, I'm going to die right now. No, you choose to worship. The attitude, that's actually what worship is. You're choosing a response of thankfulness, of rejoicing, of gladness in the midst of your circumstances. You get that bill in the mail. You're like, oh my gosh, they're raising our HOA again. Oh God, what are we going to do? No. All of a sudden, you have an opportunity to attract heaven's attention and God's glory in your life by making one simple choice into a place of rejoicing. And not losing sight of who God is. Are you guys hearing me?
Yes.
Come on. I'm almost out of time. Dang it. So good though. All right. I'm gonna zip through just a couple things because I want to get to where we're going to land and wrap up. Psalm 100 says this. A psalm of thanksgiving. Make joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, look at that. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is good. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Now, check this out. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. How many of you guys have heard that before? Yes. All right. We're going to look at it in a second. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Thanksgiving here is tauda. I don't know how to say it correctly. My apologies, but it's a word that refers to sacrificial thanks. The thanks that's sacrificial, which means it's going to cost you something. It's not easy. It's difficult. Praise here is tehillah. It's singing. It's hymns of praise. It's awesome. So it's enter his gates with sacrificial thanksgiving. So what does that mean? It means when it costs you something and you can choose with thanksgiving, what have you just done? Entered into his gates. That means at work, when you're driving in your car, at home, with your family, all of a sudden you have an opportunity to sacrificially give thanks. You have just stepped through the gates of heaven. Where you are. You want to encounter God at work? Choose sacrificial thanksgiving. It's right here. It is right here for you. And into his courts with praise, with singing, with hymns of praise. And this is awesome. It says, be thankful to him. That's yada, and it's the hifl imperative. Remember, that's the causative, and it's a command. Make yourself be thankful to him. And bless, which is barak, which is another word for praise. And this is the intensive command, the peel imperative. So that's like just everything, bless his name. It's a command. Be thankful to him. I will be thankful, soul. You better start saying thank you right now. It's a command. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to freely say, bless you, God. I'm going to express my heart. I'm going to just, Why? Because the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Come on, you guys. So what am I trying to say? All of this wrapping up. The act of praising redirects our focus and our attention from our circumstances back to the one who is in charge. The choice that you make, praising, the physical responses, what you are saying, what you're doing with your body, with your mouth, it's going to redirect your focus and attention off of your circumstances back to the one who is in charge. Why is this important? Whatever we focus on will shape the direction of our life. Whatever you focus on is going to shape the course of your life. So do you want to have more trouble and crap in your life? I can tell you how. Focus on it. Look at it. Talk about it. Tell everybody about it. Meditate on it. Review it in your heart. Man, this is just such a bummer situation. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe what's going on. And it will shape the course of your life into that place. Or you can choose to not ignore it, to recognize it and say, and yet still, God, your nature doesn't change. And you begin to focus on that and it draws you into that place. Are you guys tracking with that? 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 18, you can jot it down, but this is what it says. What we behold, we become. This verse that he says that if anybody turns to the Lord, there's freedom. And when you turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away and you behold the glory of God like a mirror, seeing the image that you're being transformed into from glory to glory to glory to glory. What does that mean? What you behold, you're going to become. Come on, there's times in your life when in the midst of chaos, you choose worship. You choose to recognize who God is and step into that place. It's not denial. It's not burying your head in the sand. It's not faking it. It's a choice. It is a choice, a direct response to who God is. It's a direct response to God's nature, not to your circumstances. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Come on, your life, I already said this, but I just want to remind us, is a fragrant offering that attracts heaven and God's glory. As we behold him and we're changed into that image, we invite his kingdom to reign in our circumstances. As the worship team comes up here, we're going to go into a response here, but I just want you to think about this for a moment. If you live your life waiting for a feeling in reaction to your circumstances, you are forever dooming your life to the fickleness of nature and the onslaught of the enemy. Did you guys hear that? If you wait for a feeling, you're handcuffing yourself to whatever current circumstances you're in. Man, God has given you an opportunity and an invitation to be set free from the fickleness of your job, of the ups and downs of life and marriage and parenting and all the other stuff. Parenting, by the way, parenting class is coming up. Me and Savannah are teaching it. It's going to be awesome. Just say, got to plug the parenting class. Free childcare if you sign up. So go online and do it. But check this out. If you want to be set free from the ups and downs of the parenting roller coaster, if you want to be free from the emotional upheaval of life and all the different stuff, what you choose to do is you have to choose to turn back and to anchor yourself in God's nature and who he is. And then you worship and you choose to respond. You put that offering of rejoicing, of thanksgiving, of gladness on the altar of your heart, and heaven's attention turns to you and is an invitation to that reality. And you watch God come in and fight on your behalf. Watch him come and do battle for you in those circumstances. Are you guys hearing me? Come on, we don't have time to read it, but if you follow the Psalms all the way through the journey of all the ups and downs, it ends in Psalms 150. And it's this crazy verse that's just everybody praise the Lord. Praise him with singing, praise him with instruments, praise him with shouting, praise him with drums and cymbals and all this, praise him with dancing. Everybody, every person, get up and praise the Lord. Why? Because God's nature never changes. And that's the response of our heart. Come on.